Chapter 21. Outside the viewport of the depot cantina hung a glorious aurora, a luminous explosion of green and violet and scarlet fanning across the face of the transitory mists from the direction of the star Roku. The spectacle was a testament to the vast sweep of the mists and the ferocious power of a blue giant's solar wind. But today, Mara found it more eerie than awe-inspiring. Today, its dancing beauty was only the barrier that prevented her and Luke from making calm contact with their son. Mara turned away from the viewport and looked across the table, where Luke sat nursing his third hot chocolate of the afternoon.
"We might as well face it. Ben's not coming."
Luke continued to gaze out at the shimmering curtain of light.
"He's way overdue," Mara continued. "And when I reach out to him in the force, he doesn't feel anywhere near here. Either Jason didn't send the rendezvous message, or Ben didn't get it. But something went wrong."
Luke nodded and took another sip from his mug. "And something wrong is coming," he added. "Don't you feel it?" Now that Luke had mentioned it, Mara could feel something. It wasn't much, just a faint prickle, easily mistaken for a chill, but it was there. Mara turned back to the viewport, but this time she studied the reflections in its corners instead of the aurora outside. Most of the customers she could see in the murky cantina were good-looking humans, typical Hapens, and without exception they seemed more interested in their meals or the Faleen Glimmick singer on stage than in the Skywalkers. The non-humans, a dozen blue-skinned Duros, some anvil-headed Arcona, and a couple of Mon Calamari, seemed transfixed by the aurora beyond the viewport. And the Twi'lek family who ran the place was being kept far too busy to pay attention to anyone not ordering something. Mara looked back to Luke.
"You think Jason set us up?"
"I do." Luke's voice was steady, but their force bond was permeated by sadness, and by a sense of bewilderment and failure. If Tenel Ka hadn't verified it, I wouldn't even believe he had sent Ben to find Jaina and Zek. Mara sighed.
"I have to admit, I'm beginning to feel a bit like a fool for placing my faith in Jason."
"Don't," Luke said. "We both trusted him. And I'm still not sure we were wrong. Jason helped Ben overcome his fear of the Force. We can't forget that."
"How could I?" Mara asked. "But if he has set us up, if he's leading Ben into the dark side..."
"Now who's leaping to conclusions?" Luke leaned across the table and took her hands. In a low voice, he added, "Look, even if Jason is working with Lumia, I don't think it's been for long, and it doesn't mean he's becoming a Sith."
"It doesn't mean he isn't," Mara countered. "We can't know what's going on between him and Lumia."
"I know Jason," Luke said quickly. "Whatever he's doing, it's because he thinks it's right for the galaxy. Once he realizes he's mistaken, he'll be easy to bring back." Mara considered this, trying to recall when she had ever seen Jason do anything selfish, trying to think of anything, even after assuming command of GAG, that Jason had done out of self-interest rather than for the good of the state. After a few moments, she nodded. Her fear for Ben and her anger at feeling deceived by Jason were beginning to affect her judgment.
"You're right," she said. "But we'd better work fast. Jason is too powerful already, and if Lumia has her hooks in him, it won't be long before he reaches the point of no return. We can't let that happen, Luke. We can't let him drag the galaxy down with him."
"We won't," Luke assured her. "We stopped Raynar, didn't we?"
"You're not inspiring much confidence," Mara said.
After crash landing near a nest of Killiks, Raynar Thule had joined their culture, eventually rising to become the leader of a powerful insect civilization. Under his guidance, the colony had expanded to the edges of the Chiss ascendancy, provoking a border war that Luke had averted only by capturing Raynar in personal combat.
"Look how well that worked out. He's been locked in the temple basement for how long?"
"Raynar is making progress," Luke said defensively. "He's accepted a prosthetic arm and is considering cosmetic surgery to repair the burn scars."
"That should come in handy when he escapes," Mara said. "He won't scare so many little children on the way to the Undercity."
Luke frowned at her sarcasm. "The surgery will help Raynar see himself differently," he said. "Silgal says that will be a big step in his recovery."
"Okay, so maybe he'll be cured in another 2 or 3 years."
Mara rose and hiked up her equipment belt, which tended to slip down on her hips now that she was carrying the extra weight of the shoto she had built in anticipation of meeting Lumia.
"Let's catch up with the Anakin and stick close to Jason. Ben will show up there sooner or later."
"If he hasn't already." Luke rose and started toward the door, and suddenly the uneasy prickle he had been feeling blossomed into full-blown danger sense. He glanced around the room, trying to locate the source of the threat. He felt nothing menacing from the other patrons, but that didn't stop him from pulling his lightsaber off his belt as casually as possible. Mara already had her weapon in her hand, though, like Luke, she held it down at her side to avoid sparking a panic.
"You feel it too?"
"Let's go," Luke said. He weaved through the crowd toward the nearest exit hatch, and Mara stayed close on his heels. If they allowed a fight to start in here, a lot of innocent beings would suffer. They were a few paces from the exit when a hunched figure appeared in the bare durasteel corridor outside the cantina, hobbling out of an intersection about 6 meters up the way. She was wearing a bulky black cloak with the hood pulled up, and she was being careful to keep her face turned away from the ceiling lights. Luke had just enough time to realize that he did not feel her presence in the Force before she brought her arm forward and sent a silver tube tumbling down the gray corridor toward him. A set of flashing diodes midway down its length confirmed the cylinder's nature. He raised his arm and used the Force to hurl the tube back up the corridor.
"Grenade!" he yelled.
The grenade was almost back to the intersection when the corridor erupted into silver brilliance. A tremendous bang shook the cantina, and Luke found himself tumbling backward over a table, ears ringing and spots dancing before his eyes. He hit the floor amid a torrent of spilling drinks and flailing customers. His eardrums popped painfully as the air pressure dropped, and the exit hatch fell with a deafening clang. An instant later, half the cantina's lights flickered out, leaving the stunned crowd bathed in shadows. A hull breach alarm began to whistle overhead. Luke reached out in the Force and sensed Mara lying about 3 meters away, surprised but unharmed and already recovering her wits. He sprang to his feet and saw that the area closest to the exit had taken the brunt of the explosion, with perhaps 2 dozen beings lying on the debris-strewn floor in various states of injury. Most of the yelling seemed to be coming from deeper in the cantina behind him, where the patrons had been far enough from the blast to become panicked instead of stunned. Mara stepped to Luke's side.
"Nice save."
She nodded out the viewport, where a cloud of flotsam from the damaged corridor was already drifting past. Fortunately, there seemed to be only a few bodies, but none was dressed in a black cloak. "That was just the opening salvo." As Luke spoke, the first frightened patrons began to crowd toward the cantina's other exit, their cries turning impatient and angry when everyone could not squeeze through the hatch at once. "There's a reason she attacked before we were..." A long hissing crackle sounded from the second exit, drawing a frenzy of screams from fleeing patrons. Luke had not heard the sizzle of a striking light whip in decades, and the sound sent a hot prickle up his spine. He reached inside his robe and withdrew the shoto he had been carrying in anticipation of just this moment. "Well, I'd say this proves it," Luke's heart ached with disappointment. Ben's not here. Lumia is.
Yeah.
Mara's voice was angry. Jason set us up. She snapped the Shoto off her own equipment belt and started for the cantina's inner wall, moving into position to flank their attacker. Luke started toward the hatch and saw snakes of light crackling into the crowd ahead. A leathery, anvil-shaped head went flying, and two human arms dropped to the floor. A dozen voices cried out in pain as ribbons of bloody cloth flew from their tunics.
"Back, you creatles!"
The icy voice belonged to Lumia.
"Get back! Only one man can save you now!"
The whip struck again, and the confused patrons began to fall back. A dark-cloaked figure appeared in the hatchway. Her hood had been pushed back off her head, but her face was swaddled in black cloth. Her light whip trailed at her side. Its half a dozen strands divided evenly among energy, leather, and crystal-studded metal. Luke started to push toward her, using the force to subtly move people aside as he fought against the retreating crowd.
"You!"
Lumia pointed a long finger in Luke's direction.
"Lay down your blades and kneel."
"Not a chance." Luke ignited his blades, one short and one long, to counter the dual nature of her weapon, and watched the crowd part before him. It would have been quicker and safer to launch himself at Lumia in a long arc of force tumbling, but she did not seem to be aware of Mara sneaking up on her flank, and Luke wanted to keep her attention fixed on him until Mara was in position to strike. Lumia was in no mood to be patient. Her light whip crackled out again and shredded a Duros down one whole flank. Her victim fell, warbling in pain, and the blaster he had been trying to pull clattered to the floor in front of him. The crowd froze in terror, staring gape-mouthed at the still writhing victim.
"The Jedi has decided your fate!"
Lumia yelled over the screeching Duros. Her whip lashed out again, this time wrapping its tendrils around the waist of the lithe Hapen beauty and cutting her nearly in half.
"Because of him, you all die!"
Cantina patrons began to whirl on Luke, many pulling blasters or vibroblades. Their eyes were distant, and their mouths uniformly twisted into the same angry snarl. And Luke realized that Lumia was using the Force to redirect their fear and anger toward him. Clearly, she did not intend this to be a fair fight, any more than he and Mara did. Luke danced forward, shoving patrons out of his way with the Force and using his light blades to return the bolts of those who made the mistake of firing on him. He hated to wound Lumia's unwitting minions and did his best to avoid injuring them seriously, but he had to defend himself. If he allowed the situation to get out of hand and they tried to mob him, a lot of people were going to lose arms, legs, and maybe worse. Luke had closed to within striking range of the light whip when a Twi'lek male in a clean kitchen apron stepped out to block his way.
"You're a Jedi!"
The Twi'lek's headtails were twitching in anger, and if he was troubled by the two blades hissing in front of him, his lumpy face showed no sign of it.
"You can't let my customers die just to save yourself!"
Luke used the Force to shove the Twi'lek aside. Though Mara was no longer in his line of sight, he could sense through their Force bond that she was in position and ready to strike. And Lumia continued to seem unaware of her. The Twi'lek stepped out behind Luke.
"Coward!"
His voice grew a little muted as he turned toward the crowd.
"Let's get—"
Luke silenced the Twi'lek with a bone-crunching back kick, then hurled himself at Lumia, both blades striking for the kill. He knew better than to think victory would come so easily, but he had to keep her attention riveted on him until Mara struck. Lumia's counter was, of course, masterful. She flicked her whip at Luke's legs, forcing him into a high somersault that bought her half a second to spin away. He came down a couple of paces inside the cantina, framed in the hatchway and facing the murky corridor where Alima crouched, hidden inside her force shadow. Then Lumia's light whip crackled in at Luke's flank, striking high, low, and in between all at once. He pivoted around to defend himself, filling the air with sparks and ozone and flying shards of kyber crystal as he blocked with the short blade and used the long to cut away one of the strands. Alima could have taken him at that moment. She had the cone dart in the blowgun, and the blowgun pressed to her lips, and Skywalker was so focused on Lumia that he would never have sensed the dart coming. That was what Lumia would want, what she expected. But where was the balance in that? Luke Skywalker had taken so much from her. The use of her arm, her nest, her identity. And it would not be right for Alima to simply kill him. She had to destroy him, to let him watch Mara die first, so that when he died, he would know that there was no hope, so he would know that Lumia had won, that the Sith would have his nephew and his son, and that the Jedi Order would die with him. So Alima held her dart, waiting motionless, while Lumia's light whip flashed again and again, keeping Skywalker framed in the hatchway for her, striking at his flanks and head to keep him from pivoting or somersaulting or simply advancing out of her line of sight. Finally, Skywalker feinted a leap for the hatchway, when Lumia made the mistake of trying only half-heartedly to block his escape. He made an unbelievable parry across his body with his short blade, then spun into a slashing, whirling advance with his long blade. Lumia had no choice except to retreat. Skywalker vanished from the hatchway and out of Alima's sight. Then the last of the light whip's metallic strands whirled past the hatchway. A fresh chorus of screams arose, and a jet of blood arced out of the cantina to splat down in a line of elongated red beads. When Alima looked back into the cantina, it was to find Mara crouching opposite her, just inside the hatchway and facing away. Half a dozen meters beyond her, Skywalker and Lumia were fighting a frantic battle in the midst of the crowd, Skywalker trying to remain in clear areas so no bystanders would be injured, Lumia working to keep those same bystanders in front of her so Skywalker could not attack without cutting his way through them first. Now was Alima's chance. But it would not be enough to simply kill Mara. Alima was a Jedi, and Jedi served the balance. As she filled her lungs, Alima was also reaching out to Skywalker, sharing with him all the sorrow and loneliness and despair he had caused her, the shame and hopelessness and unending anguish. A bolt of surprise shot through the Force. Skywalker's eyes widened and slid toward the hatchway. And that was all the opening Lumia needed. The light whip cracked again, wrapping Skywalker in a fiery cage of light and leather. The short blade went flying, taking along the hand that had been holding it, and Skywalker's robe fell away below the armpits in ribbons, leaving the air pink and smoky with blood and charred flesh. Alima emptied her lungs, and the dart shot from the blowgun. Mara heard Luke screaming and thought it was only because he had been so badly hurt. But then he touched her through their force bond, and she realized he was frightened for her, that something was coming at her only slightly under the velocity of a blaster bolt. She dived away and felt her skin prickle as something tiny and dark shot past her shoulder. A female Twi'lek cried out in astonishment, and when Mara rolled back to her feet, it was to find one of the cantina owner's wives standing a couple of meters in front of her, staring back through the hatchway as she plucked a tiny cone-shaped dart from her thigh. Clearly, Lumia had brought her back up. But Mara had no time to think of likely candidates. The Twi'lek suddenly began to tremble and gasp for breath. Then her leg buckled, and she collapsed in convulsions. Poison. Mara whirled around to charge through the hatchway, only to find it blocked by a swarm of terrified Hapens trying to flee. She deactivated her weapons and rushed into their midst, force-shoving the leaders into the dark corridor ahead of her. Luke was badly wounded, and she knew it, but she was not going to save him by giving the dart-blower another shot. As soon as she was through the hatchway, she reignited her blades and spun toward the dark corner from which the dart had come. There was nothing but shadow. Fleeing patrons continued to jostle past behind Mara, cursing her for blocking their escape. Thinking the attacker had already fled up the corridor, she turned to follow, then wondered why the corner had still been in shadow, with the glow of two light blades shining into it. Mara pivoted around to face the corner, but had to deactivate her lightsaber when a salt-drunk Arcona nearly impaled himself on her blade, whistling in panic and slamming into her so hard she had to use the force to avoid being bowled over. "Get off," she ordered. Instead of force-shoving the Arcona back through the hatchway, she stepped back to let him continue up the corridor. And that was what saved her life when a deep blue, almost black lightsaber blade came shooting out of his chest, so close to her throat she was afraid to drop her chin. Reacting even before she understood what was happening, Mara whipped her left hand around behind the shrieking Arcona and felt her Shoto's blade rub across something. A female voice cried out in surprise. Then the dark blade vanished from the Arcona's chest, and he dropped to the floor, gurgling and wailing. Standing behind him was a twisted figure in a black Jedi robe. She held herself slightly hunched, as though it would pain her to stand upright, and one arm hung atrophied and limp beneath a sagging shoulder. The far leku had been seared off just above the shoulder, while the near one had a smoking wound across the back where it had been grazed by Mara's blade.
Alima?
Mara was not so astonished that she forgot to defend herself when the Twi'lek reignited her lightsaber. She caught Alima's attack on her Shoto, then swept the Twi'lek's blade aside and brought her long lightsaber around in a killing slash. Alima used the force to hurl herself into a backward somersault, crashing upside down through the line of still-fleeing cantina customers. She alit on both feet on the other side of the corridor. An angry din began to build in the cantina as fleeing patrons stopped in the hatchway rather than run through the middle of a lightsaber fight. There were a dozen questions Mara would have liked to ask Alima. Was she Lumia's apprentice? How had she escaped to Noop? How long had she been back? But Mara could feel through her force bond that Luke was fading fast. His energy was dwindling and his concentration slipping, and he was drawing heavily on the force just to keep his pain in check and his body moving. Mara stepped into the middle of the corridor, bringing herself within striking range of Alima. The Twi'lek stepped away from the wall, buying herself room to maneuver and betraying the limp caused by her half-foot. And Mara added one more question to her list. Why had Alima helped kill Trissina Lobi? Mara leveled her long blade at the Twi'lek's throat.
"I don't have much time, so I'll give you one chance to surrender," she said. "After that, this is to the death, and it doesn't look like you're in condition to last long."
Alima glanced toward the cantina, where the crackle of Lumia's light whip was growing both louder and more frequent, and the sneer that came to her lip was surprisingly confident.
"You could let us limp away," she said. "We promise to go."
Mara grew cold and angry inside.
"That was your chance."
She leapt in, attacking with both hands, beating Alima's defense down with her lightsaber and thrusting for the torso with her Shoto. Normally, she would never have risked such an all-out attack, but Alima was not much of a challenge, and Luke was running out of... As overconfidence always does, Mara's proved costly. Alima dropped her lightsaber and stretched out her arm, driving her sharp Twi'lek finger talons into Mara's throat and twisting aside so that the short lightsaber slipped past without hitting anything. Mara's breath stopped instantly, and she felt herself choking on something wet and warm. She started to bring her arms together, intending to cross her blades through Alima's body, then realized they had dropped to her sides. She started to bring them up, but Alima's eyes had grown dark, and tiny forks of energy were crackling across her blue face. Mara did not have the half-second it would take to raise her arms again, so she simply threw herself backward, pulling her throat off the talons and bringing her legs up to either side of Alima's. A bolt of blue lightning crackled past above her face, so close she saw it even through closed eyes. Mara was already scissoring her feet, catching the Twi'lek below the knees with one leg and above the knees with the other. The two foes hit the floor in the same instant, Alima coming down hard on the back of her head. The Twi'lek went instantly limp, her arms and body flopping to the floor as though her robe were filled with warm gel meat. Mara sat up, already bringing her lightsaber around to lop off Alima's head, then stopped the blade just centimeters above the Twi'lek's throat. She could not kill an unconscious foe, even one who had betrayed the Jedi Order, even when she was in a hurry to help Luke. Having knocked out enough beings to be certain Alima was not faking her unconsciousness, Mara put away her weapons and spun to her knees. She could sense that Luke's strength was continuing to fade, and that he was starting to doubt his ability to prevail. But leaving the Twi'lek armed and free, even when she was unconscious, was not an option. As the exodus of patrons resumed through the hatchway, Mara bound Alima's hands behind her back and collected her lightsaber and blowgun from where they had been dropped. Then she opened the Twi'lek's robe to check for concealed weapons, and was suddenly very glad she had stopped short of killing an unconscious enemy. Under the robe, Alima wore a black combat vest with a sensor pad blinking over the heart. A bundle of thin wires ran from the pad down into a chest pocket bulging with something shaped like a thick wafer. Very carefully, Mara opened the pocket and followed the wires to what she had feared she would find. A dead man relay connected to the proton detonator from a Baradium missile. There was no question of returning to the cantina without disconnecting the relay. Head injuries were too unpredictable. The Twi'lek could die at any moment, and even if she lived, one of the fleeing patrons might trigger the device accidentally. Unfortunately, the wires had to be disconnected in a specific sequence to keep from triggering the detonator. Mara only hoped that Luke could hold Lumia off until she finished. Even with the Force to guide her, this was going to take time. And time was something Luke did not have. He could feel that in the fire eating his lungs, in the raw nettling of his flesh. His breath came in inadequate gasps, and his blood was bubbling from his side in a pink froth. He was calling on the Force to keep fighting, drawing it through himself faster than his body could endure, literally boiling his own cells. At most, he had another minute of fight in him. Maybe less. Luke had to end this now. He blocked a pair of crackling energy strands with his lightsaber and flung them aside, then launched himself across a clackball table toward Lumia. She countered by pivoting away, bringing between them a Twi'lek serving girl. He could have continued the attack, slicing through the chests of both shield and captor, but even desperate, he could not kill a hostage. He threw himself into an aerial cartwheel and came down on a slick, utensil-strewn floor squarely facing Lumia. Her hand flicked, and the light whip came arcing toward his head. Luke dropped to his haunches and let it crackle past overhead. Then, when Lumia started to back away from the expected lunge at her midsection, he hit her hard with a Force shove and spun her half around. She crashed into a drink table and nearly fell, but quickly brought her hostage around to protect her from an attack. Luke smiled and raised his arm, pointing his lightsaber toward the serving girl. Then, using the Force to wrench her free of Lumia's grasp, he sent her flying across the clackball table. She crashed down on the other side in a heap, screaming in terror, but far safer than she had been a moment earlier. By then, Lumia had recovered from her stumble, and the light whip was snaking back toward Luke. He sprang into a roundoff, wrapping the tip of his blade into the crackling strands as he passed over upside down. He landed on the clackball table's squishy surface and jerked backward with all his might. And that was when his mangled body failed him. Instead of yanking the weapon from Lumia's hand, his lightsaber slipped out of his own grasp and went flying into the shadows. Luke cursed in disbelief, then rolled off the table in a backward somersault. Even that turned into a disaster. He landed on the body of one of Lumia's original victims and, too weak to steady himself, hit the floor with an audible thump. He could sense Mara out in the corridor, concentrating intently on something, very frightened, and urging him to wait for her, not to press the attack until she was there. There was no chance of that. Luke's strength was failing so fast that he feared Jason's betrayal would cost him his life. And when Lumia was done with him, she would be free to go attack Mara as well. His chest tightened with an emotion that might have been anger or sorrow or fear, and was probably all those things at once. Jason had betrayed them, which could only mean that somewhere along the line, Luke had failed Jason. Lumia must have suspected a trap, because when Luke failed to rise immediately, she did not rush to attack. Instead, she called,
"It's not too late, Skywalker. Let me kill you now, and everyone else survives. Even Mara."
"Very generous." As Luke replied, he was inspecting the cantina floor, searching for the Shoto he had lost when Lumia took his cybernetic hand. "But I don't think so. You can't have Jason."
"Jason?"
Lumia let out a cold laugh.
"What makes you think this is about him?"
"Your involvement with GAG?" He wasn't having much success looking for his lightsabers. The blades had deactivated as soon as they left his grasp, and the cantina floor was too littered in debris and shadow for him to find anything. "Who else could give you an apartment? Who else could give you access to their files?" Again, that cruel laugh.
"Indeed."
The light whip's crackling grew deeper as Lumia shortened the strands for easier control.
"Who else has access to Jason's codes? Who else could give orders to GAG officers in Jason's name?"
The questions caught Luke like a kick in the stomach. He knew that Lumia was only trying to hurt him, that her implications were likely more false than true. But the possibility explained too much. And now that he thought back on Ben's behavior over the last several months, he had to admit that he had seen too much of that possibility himself. Something crunched on the floor as Lumia circled the base of the clackball table. Luke gave up his search for his Shoto and began to look for another weapon. He had not brought his own blaster into the cantina, preferring light blades instead. But the body he had fallen on was almost certainly a spacer, and spacers always carried blasters.
"You're lying."
Luke found the spacer's belt and followed it to a holster.
"Just saying that to hurt me."
"Does that make it a lie?"
Lumia asked.
"You've caused me a lot of pain over the years, Skywalker. What better way to repay it than bringing your family legacy full circle?"
Luke knew she was only trying to twist the vibroblade, to hurt him as much as she could before she killed him. But he stuck his head up anyway.
"Stop it!"
he yelled with real anger.
"You'll never make a Sith of my—"
Luke never had a chance to say son. All he saw was the bright glow of Lumia's light whip snaking across the clackball table barely centimeters above the surface, and he knew that his reflexes were just too slow right now, that he could not duck quickly enough to keep the whip from slicing into his brain. So Luke simply fell backward, closing his eyes against the crackling glow as the strands swept past a finger's width above his nose, bringing up the blaster he had taken from the dead spacer's holster, allowing the force to guide his hand, squeezing the trigger three times before he felt Lumia's shock in the force, then squeezing it twice more before he heard her body hit the floor. And suddenly Mara was screaming at him from across the cantina, flooding the force with alarm.
"Stop firing!"
Luke sat up and glanced over long enough to see her in the hatchway, pushing past the last handful of stragglers, mostly wounded, who were still struggling to leave the cantina.
"You can't kill her!" Mara yelled.
Luke looked back to Lumia and thought he had done a pretty good job of it. She was lying at the foot of the clackball table with three different columns of blaster smoke rising from her chest, her cybernetic life support girdle sparking and sizzling with short circuits. Her light whip lay on the floor nearby, where she had dropped it when he blasted her. His own lightsaber lay a few meters beyond, where it had landed when she used the whip to disarm him. Luke used the force to summon both weapons to him, then stood and went to check on her. To his surprise, Lumia's eyes were focused and alert, and horribly bugged out with pain. As soon as she saw him, they crinkled at the corners as though she were smiling. That tiny act made his spine ache with danger sense. But he tried not to let that show when he spoke.
"Mara's coming," he gasped. "She'll try to save you."
"Maybe not."
Mara came up behind him and took one look at Lumia, then said,
"In fact, not a chance."
She grabbed Luke and tried to pull him away, but still fighting his pain, he pulled back and remained where he was.
"Mara, we can't leave her."
"Yes, Luke, we can."
Mara leaned down and pulled open Lumia's robe, revealing, aside from the blaster wounds and life support girdle, a black combat vest with a sensor pad over the heart. The diodes were blinking weakly and erratically.
"In fact, I think we'd better run."